Welcome to Renegade Radio. I'm your host, Andy Lowe. We're brought to you today by Renegade Concepts and the good folks here at Business Radio X. We've got another exciting show for you guys today. We're going to talk a little bit about leveraging the human spirit today, and we've got a great panel of guests that are experts in this area, and I'm looking forward to hearing what they have to say. I want to welcome to the show today Travis Dommert from I Run, You Run, Mark Myatt from the Global Institute for Inspiration, and we have Mark Reinecke and Dane Van Breen from Pure Marketing Group. Gentlemen, thank you for being here today.
Thanks, Andy.
Thanks for having us.
All right, so let's meet our panel here today before we kind of get into some open discussion, and that way the audience can find out a little bit about who you guys are and what you do. Travis, if I can, let me start with you. Now, you are with I Run, You Run. Tell us a little bit about what you guys do.
Great, thank you, Andy. I Run, You Run is... It's a software platform. It's web and mobile-based. The mission of our company is to help people achieve their potential in work and life. And this simple system is really designed to help people develop and sustain behavior change. And while we could develop any behaviors, we really focus on success habits. So we work with people to, whether they're leaders, they're salespeople, or they're educators, or even people in their personal lives, to help them identify what are the handful of what we would call key actions that if you did them consistently, you could develop momentum in your work and in your life to be better. So at the bottom line, we help people achieve their goals.
All right, now I'm going to shortcut a little bit here because of what you just said when you talked about the consistency. Before the show, we were chatting a little bit. You and I share some common ground. We've both done an Ironman competition, and I think we both had the same realization, which was that you said anyone can do an Ironman.
Right, anybody can do it. If you've got the knees and the back for it,
right,
then all you need is the spirit. And
the consistency, right?
Absolutely.
Which is when you said that word. So let's talk about that. How does I Run, You Run help with that consistency factor? Because I feel like that's where so many people struggle.
Right. Yeah, we think that a lot of people, they have an idea of what they could do to be better. At the end of the day, they get off track. They get busy. We live in an extraordinarily noisy time where there are so many demands on us, whether it's our time, it's our thoughts. But really, at the end of the day, what we have found, both anecdotally with our clients, but also through what is sort of called peak performance psychology research, people are capable of just about anything if they will be focused and consistent. What we know, though, is people aren't generally very focused and consistent. So we have built an accountability platform that gets them to articulate what they're focused on. They actually have to spell it out, and then they track how consistently they do those things. They get a score each and every week out of 100 possible points as to whether or not they've done those things that matter, and then that score is visible real time all the time to whoever they're using our tool with, whether that's their team at work, whether that's a personal group of friends or family members. And at the end of the day, you really change the dynamic of the relationship with your colleagues, with your boss, or even with your spouse, because instead of, you know, if you had 1 minute to talk to that person that day, instead of it being about the headlines or the weather, it's, hey, I saw your score, and either you're killing it or you're getting distracted and reactive. And so to have each other, help each other stay focused on the things that matter most, keeps you on track, helps you build momentum and get there.
So how does this score thing work? Because this sounds like it's different than just a to-do list. I'm not just making a list of things and checking them off.
That's right.
So how does this scoring system work?
Yeah, to-do list is the idea of constant reprioritization of tasks. So a to-do list changes all the time. We're more of a should-do list. What are the 5 to 7 things you should do every week to build momentum in your life? And if you took those, let's say it was 5 things, and you weighted them all out of 100 possible points, then you can make some of these 5 things more important than others. But at the end of the day, if you did all 5 of those things, you would earn 100 points. So it's a very simple sort of grade school approach to tracking, in many cases, intangibles that aren't being captured anywhere in your current systems at work or even in your life. But now you have almost this this constant reminder. Am I really living my life like an A player with a 90-plus average, or am I really inconsistent? And our founder started this 9 years ago in his business, and he used this simple system for 6 weeks. And in the first 6 weeks, he found he hadn't scored 100 or 90 or 80. He was averaging below 50. And that was what was so revealing, is in school, where he had lots of structure and clarity around how to be successful, he was an A student. But now in trying to build a business, he was all over the place. And so when he developed an assignment and actually scored himself, he was an F student. Hmm. And it wasn't until he became an A player, he said he developed these habits, he scored 90 or better for 6 months before his business took off. And it took off in a great way. Ultimately, he had never intended to do this, but it was after he shared it with a number of people over the years that they encouraged him to actually build this tool and share it with people.
Now, are you guys finding that there's a acceptance from this, from the corporate market, or are companies adopting this type of approach where I think, as you put it, actions speak louder than goals?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really been amazing. We started out working with local business owners, and many of those folks then introduced us to others and others and others. We use social media to develop sort of an indirect marketing channel. And at this point now, we have users in over 25 countries. But here in the States, and specifically in Atlanta, you know, we're working with some Fortune 500 companies. And they're saying, we have a results-driven culture. We measure results. In some cases, they measure the actions that lead to the results, like sales behaviors. But we've yet to meet a single company that actually tracks all of the success habits, which might be leadership behaviors, personal behaviors. That was another discovery along the way, was that people's personal habits have a tremendous impact on their success at work. That's where they get their energy from, and it's the amount of energy they can bring to their job that really has a huge impact on whether or not they're going to be able to sustain difficult work habits.
Okay. So when you look at the performance factors, what type of results are you seeing? Because what I hear you saying, and I'm really intrigued by, is success habits. So this isn't the, hey, we've got a big project and we've got a big goal, and so you know, here's the three things that we must do. This is that daily, consistent, I have to do these things every day in order to improve and in order to grow the company. I mean, what type of performance results are you seeing from that with companies adopting this technology?
Well, we're kind of seeing things in two major areas. One is in sales. And so you've got people starting to see sales growth. And that was what we expected. We expected to take this to market and people would say, okay, how do I get my sales team to be consistently following up with customers or investing in customer relationships or meeting new people and filling the pipeline, traditional sales behaviors. And that's the first area where we're seeing results. People are saying that they're 10, 20, 30% more productive and they're starting to see growth. But the other area that's indirect is in employee engagement. And that's where when a company says that they understand that your ability to perform as a salesperson is partly a function of how you perform as a person. And we want you investing time in professional development, in your marriage, in fitness, in getting yourself out of the office and doing the things that are going to recharge your batteries, then you're actually seeing people more excited about coming to work. You're seeing greater intimacy among team members because they're having meaningful dialogue around, hey, you know, I see that you're doing some amazing things. You read that book series that you told me you've always wanted to do and you haven't stuck to. You've written a book. You've lost 40 pounds. And those kind of things are starting to hardwire teams together in a way that we probably didn't fully expect.
Gotcha. Well, I want to visit with our next guest, but I want to come back to you because I think there's a lot of tie-in here that we can talk about in leveraging the human spirit. So can you hang out with us for a few
Absolutely.
Minutes?
Absolutely.
All right, awesome. So Marv and Dane, let's bring you guys up here and let's find out a little bit about your company. You guys are with the Pure Marketing Group. So tell us a little bit about what you guys do.
Yeah, bottom line, Andy, is we help people promote themselves and their business, you know, and that could be if you have a one- or two-man office, or if you have a McDonald's or a Coca-Cola, and that's through branded products, imprinted items that they use to market themselves or their business. And we started the company about 5 years ago with, you know, you talk about breaking the rules. Some of the items that we produce and provide may have been around a while, but how people utilize those have changed. And it was the goal of Dan and I when we started the company to kind of bring a new twist to the market, not only with the way we operate the company, but just how we present ourselves to the market in corporate America. And we're veterans, you know, 25 years plus dinosaurs. But when we started the company, we came to it, the realization that we wanted a unique company, that one that the employees are involved in, our customers know right away where we stand, and take away all the blocks and the hindrances from business. And pure really comes from transparency. We wanted to break down some of the walls that people think of in branded products and promotional products.
Yeah, let's dig into that, and I want to hear what your take on this is, because when I think promotional products, I mean, I'm going to be honest for a minute. I mean, I feel like I have the same impression that many people have, because we've all been told, hey, you need these mugs, you got to have keychains, you got to have this little letterhead thing. And then when you go places, people shove that stuff at you like, you know, like it's candy at Halloween, and you take home a bag of swag, right? But it goes in the corner, goes in the trash, you never do anything with it. But you guys are really, you're more engaged with how do I take a product and really engage a customer and really create, we talk about leveraging the human spirit. How do I create leverage and relationship with that customer based on that? Take us into that a little bit with your philosophy.
Yeah. Well, Andy, you know, we always try to take the approach working with clients that we try to do products that are relevant for them. It's really critical. We take a very proactive stance versus a reactive stance to it. So we're constantly trying to come up with that new innovative product that's going to have, and I always say about the key word retention. Retention to me is something that's extremely important. And we look at it as a sales team. We're constantly talking about that word retention. We don't want to do a swag item that's just going to find its way to the corner and have dust on it. What we truly want to do is get that perfect gift or that item for our client that's going to have a great resonation with their client at the end of the day, that's going to be used and very much functional. And functionality is a key part of our business, making sure that the product's actually going to be used, not just from a branding side, critically important, but at the same time, it's functional and somebody can use it in their everyday life.
So let's talk about that. I mean, functionality. What should a promotional product do for me? If I have a promotional product and I give it out from a business side, what should I expect that promotional product to do for my business?
Yeah, I think ultimately we try and find out, Andy, what is your goal? Do you want a call to action? Do you want somebody to take that item and maybe they go to a website or maybe they go to your restaurant or is it a thank you? Are you thanking somebody for the business they've given you? And so, you know, we try and find that out up front, and as Dane mentioned, it's retention, return on investment. It's all about the impression. How many times are you going to see the name of the company on that item? So if it is a one-time use, you might get a thank you out of it, but that's about it. And ultimately, it's you want that thing to stick around on somebody's desk or in their car for a long time.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Now, you don't just go with, when we say promotional product, I mean, the word promotion by its very nature makes me think branding, marketing, outgoing message, but you guys specialize a lot with internal for a company, such as like service awards. Tell us about that.
We do, and that kind of ties in a little bit with Travis's company in that, you know, companies these days are trying to get the most productivity out of their employees, and how do you make that employee feel appreciated? How do you get them to produce even more? And I think ultimately you can get an employee to do whatever you want them to do if you reward them. It could be that, boy, you want the employee to show up on time to work. How do I do that? Well, you can create an incentive program where you can track that, and based on somebody showing up to work on time for a month, they could receive or have an option to choose from a level of gifts. And it could be $5 items, $20 items, whatever you determine that that response is worth. So you know, I had one client, he said, Marv, I just want the guys to start throwing the waste paper in the basket. I mean, it was literally that crazy. And so you can create ways to get the employee to do what you want them to do. You know, too many employees today at work, they don't feel appreciated. And that's the last thing you want as a business owner or a supervisor. I mean, you know, to try and hire a new employee, it takes a lot of time and money. I mean, you guys know. And so if you can keep that person engaged, you know, productive, keep them around, make them feel appreciated, I think they're going to work harder for you, and ultimately you're going to have a better employee experience.
What are some of the trends that you guys have seen product-wise? What seems to be the type of item or items that really move people, really drive those relationships? And maybe counterpoint to that, what are some items that just don't work anymore?
Yeah. Andy, some of the stuff that we've noticed over the years, what we would call Me Too type of items, we try to, and again, this is where the proactive side of pure marketing comes in. We try to provide products that really don't fall into that category called Me Too, which would be your, it could be a cup, guys, it could be a can cooler, it could be a koozie, what we call it, et cetera. So what we try to do is come up with those products that are going to be more from a retail side. You might go out to Starbucks and you stand there in line getting your coffee and you see a really awesome mug that's right there. A lot of times those type of products aren't available in our industry. So what we're trying to do as a company is pull the retail industry into the promotional type market, into the business markets. So we actively will reach out to those retailers and then engage them. If they don't have a business relationship in the market, we'll actually open it up for them. And there's many occasions where we picked up the phone and talked to, goodness, guys, it could be any retailer out there that you think of. Case in point, head skis. We did a head project at one time and reached out to a ski company because one of our clients at that time wanted to customize skis for a large event. Nobody's ever done it before, so we turned around and worked it out. Project did not go through, unfortunately, but at the same time, that shows you that kind of case in point. We're trying to bring those kind of very creative ideas into the promotional market.
Well, and technology, too. I mean, we are so technology-driven as a society. Yeah. You know, my kids have all the games, they have the phones, and that's really where if you can find a product that relates to a technology item, you know, our customers are looking for that because if they, you know, we're on our phones, we're on our laptops, we're on our games, and if we can find an item that has their branding on it, on a technology item, and it's cool and it's neat, boy, we're out there showing it because they want to see it.
Right.
So to the counterpoint question, anything that just doesn't work anymore?
You know, you would think some of the tried and true items that would die off. But I can tell you, and you guys can identify this since you're the Iron Men, but, you know, people still love to get a T-shirt. Doesn't matter. I mean, they love to get a hat. They love to get a wearable item.
Let me jump in with a question right here because this is a big one for me. Do you find people that are getting better results moving away from cotton T-shirts?
You know, yes. There is that performance wicking material that, again, I point to you guys on the Ironman participants. The goal is to pull that moisture away from your body because if your body's cooler, then you'll perform better. Or if my body's cooler, I'll shoot a 88 instead of a 108 on the golf course. I always blame that on a cotton shirt if I have it on if I shoot a high score. But, you know, that's true. You know, that performance material, we've seen that trend go in the last 5-10 years, and very rarely, and I'm talking about a polo, do you get somebody that's needing a cotton shirt. Mm-hmm. So, are they giving those out at the Ironman now, the wicking shirts?
Yeah, they have more of a wicking type, you know, technical material. I'm so disappointed if I go to an event and they hand me a cotton shirt these days. It blows my mind. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Andy, I thought you were going to ask him about tattoos. Do you guys do that? You know, promotional tattoos?
We do temporary tattoos.
All right. Well, you know, that's a pretty exciting thing. I mean, you see that there's a lot of room for that. Even at Ironman, you'll see a lot of people that have picked up a temporary tattoo from Power Bar or Timex or K-Swiss or something like that.
Or even technology brands. You know, people are wearing the Apple.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are.
They really dig their brand. So,
well, Well, for what you pay for an apple, you probably ought to get the tattoo for free. That's a whole
another discussion.
That's another discussion. Well, guys, that's great stuff. I want to come back again and tie that in here in a few minutes. Okay. But can you hang out for a minute while we visit with Mark?
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Mark, welcome to the show today. Now, you are with Global Institute for Inspiration. Tell us a little bit about what that is.
Well, first off, Andy, thank you very much. And I do hope I still get the mug, even though I was a little bit late. So
we'll get back to you.
Yeah. All right. Excellent. But yeah, so thank you very much for having me today. I'm with a group called the Global Institute for Inspiration, and it seems very impressive just in the name. But this is an organization for the last few years has focused on inspiration, whether that's within companies or within which also transcends life. But the research has really focused on companies and the most inspiring companies. And for the last 2 years, Forbes magazine has published the most inspiring companies list, which is driven by Global Institute for Inspiration's research. And that research is based on 7 key drivers that impact inspiration within the workplace. And then one figure I'll throw out there, because we've heard about engagement, we've heard about motivation. In the case of engagement, there's a figure that's rattled around currently that 11% of all the total employees are inspired, which means get a huge opportunity to impact that inspiration factor within companies. So our mission is to really help companies and groups identify where potentially there might be some gaps or opportunities to really get to the core of what can make us more inspiring. And you could probably pick out the number one company for inspiration right now. It was mentioned earlier, and anyone venture to say?
Apple?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And you can see that too, and in some ways. And if you've ever been to an Apple outlet retail store, you know, I like to actually talk to or ask questions of the associates. How do you like working here? And that person's reaction within retail, he could have responded any which way, said, it changed my life. I'm like, really? How did it change your life? He went on for about a minute or two talking about how he was one way before he started working with Apple and how his personality changed. He became more outgoing. He loved helping people. He loves the technology. He loves being able to be a resource. And I reflected on that, said, okay, I can see why this correlates with why Apple is in the place that it's in, because their employees, and this is one example, of course, but their employees are really living the brand. And I reflected, you know, what if I asked that of every associate I came in contact with? And sometimes you'll probably get a response, it's okay. Well, it pays the bills. Well, I'll be leaving here soon. You know, it's like, okay, wow. And that's really important because a high percentage, about 80% of somebody's perception of a company is based on their interaction with an associate. So our whole mission is helping organizations address how they can become more impactful and inspiring to their employees, so they in turn will become more inspiring to their customers.
Yeah, and Apple clearly has something figured out in that regard. I mean, I don't remember the exact numbers, but I do remember seeing some statistics not long ago where there's a waiting list of people waiting to get hired into an Apple store where Best Buy pays more money for the same job, and they can't find people to take on the roles. They're actively looking for people to put to work, whereas Apple's got this waiting list. Mm-hmm. Would you say that's that a large part of that it has to do with culture? Are you finding that that is what drives the inspiration?
I think culture is, I believe, at the highest level, the C levels, they drive the culture, the aspirations. One thing actually have in the vision statement, you know, we aspire to do this or we aspire to be this. If it's not lived as a core value of the company and it can't be reflected throughout the organization, then there's a challenge. So that's why one of our key drivers for inspiration is focused around vision. And so that usually starts at, you know, the culture. And so if that vision really impacts the culture of that organization.
So how do you change the mentality inside of some of these companies? I mean, I was watching a TV show last night, and the guy in on the show, he made the comment in his role. They said something about he didn't look like he was enjoying his job. And mm-hmm. his comment was, they pay me to do the job, not to like it. So how do you change that programming inside of an organization?
Well, and it's interesting because I was preceded with a couple guests that are talking about some of the aspects that could help on the motivation side as well as the recognition or the engagement side. So I think it's a complex question or answer, right? Because it involves, that's why there's seven key drivers of inspiration. So a company might have one or two of those drivers spot on, but then if they've got gaps in the other five areas, then that's a challenge. So chances are they won't be inspiring. So the real opportunity for a company in trying to influence that is, okay, what is our strategy as it relates to addressing what it takes to be inspirational for our internal employees? And if we're not, then what can we do to impact that? That involves people buying into it. That involves people embracing it. That involves a fair amount of coaching. That involves a lot of change management. But again, if the vision connects with all the employees, the why of the company is addressed, then that really helps begin to position, you know, why we're here. And another example, a couple decades ago, is Kennedy, you know, when he got up and said, we're going to put a man on the moon by the beginning of within the next decade. Boom. Pretty simple, but everyone gets focused on that like a laser. And you just recount as growing up as a child, how much passion and inspiration there was behind getting a person on the moon, you know. So it's simple but complex.
Now, that's an interesting example. So let me use it for a second. What I've heard and seen evidence of is that a lot of organizations try to motivate and inspire people by money. Number one,
yeah.
You know, can we pay them more money? How can we incentivize them? Let's create a bonus program, profit sharing, whatever. But the research shows that that's really not a good factor, that most people are only motivated so far by that,
right.
And that the truly skilled people that you're really trying to get that extra level out of aren't. So when you look at something like putting somebody on the moon, it wasn't because they were paying people more. It was because they were part of something bigger.
Exactly.
So how do you get that message? I mean, how do you bring that aha realization to an organization?
Well, I think the other big example would be going back to Apple. You know, when Steve Jobs came back to Apple after being away for a few years and stepped in as the CEO, one of his first actions as the CEO was to actually ask or order that all of the past products that were on display in the lobby get warehoused. And his key message to the employees was, we're not looking backwards. And if we keep reflecting on what we did and not focus on what we're going to be as a company, then we're going to continue to live in our laurels, and we can't do that. We can't afford to do that as a company. So it kind of was a wake-up call to the employees that there's a new sheriff in town, there's a new philosophy. And I think it was a beginning of the domino effect about how do we impact inspiration within the organization. So I think that's one example. And you bring up another key point about, you know, motivation is really important, but motivation is short-term. You know, and if we're not careful, motivation, whether it's a carrot or a stick, has maybe not the impact that inspiration can, because inspiration gets us out of bed. Inspiration makes us go above and beyond to help a customer. And if we're not inspired, we end up throwing 45-inch plasma screens over a fence instead of ringing a doorbell, which I think we all notice that around the holidays. You know, employees not inspired. And the impact to that organization was that video got posted on YouTube and over 8 million people watched it. So companies that spent millions and millions on their brand, it just got, you know, mitigated or impacted by one employee that was disengaged, not inspired, not motivated. Boom.
Wow. Well, this is a good transition point to bring you other guys back into the discussion. Let's just kind of open this up, because I see so many tie-ins here. I mean, so I get inspired,
yep,
and I have inspiration, but yet consistently I got to get up every day and mm-hmm. do certain things. I always go back to my Ironman training, because people ask about that, and I say, you know, I was inspired. I had a why that I wanted to do it. But I woke up more days feeling like, man, I do not want to train today, than I woke up going, woohoo, can't wait to get out there. So Travis, maybe jump back in here. How do I blend that together and leverage that inspiration?
Yeah, we've really been trying to understand that, because we don't consider ourselves software people so much as trying to be a problem solver for clients. And the problem they're trying to solve is, how do I get people to consistently do what we know works? You know, and so in many cases, the path to success has been paved. It's just that what they end up focusing on are the results, and they try to throw more incentives perhaps that aren't necessarily aligned with what that person's interested in. So anyway, we've really kind of gotten into the business of this whole peak performance psychology world, and what we're finding is there are fundamental elements, and you can't really skip a step. You know, you've got to have a BHAG if you want to align a bunch of people around an idea. So what?
All right, you
want to
tell people what that is? I know what a BHAG is, but a lot of people may not. Tell us what a BHAG is.
A big, hairy, audacious goal. And Jim Collins kind of made it famous with a couple of his books. But what we found was, okay, BHAGs are great. It's really focusing the organization on something really big and really exciting. That is great at the beginning of a kickoff. So that's maybe part of the inspiration. What we found is, we talked to people, whether they were in business or not, former athletes and former military picked up what we do better than faster than anybody. And it was this idea of developing discipline in your life for a long time. So we started interviewing former professional athletes, former elite military, who had developed discipline in their lives for over 10 years. That was kind of the minimum criteria. And this would be a Blue Angels pilot, a Navy SEAL, a general, an Olympian. And what was really interesting is that's where we really started to understand how important why was. We had a Navy SEAL, a guy named Len Same out in Colorado, introduce the notion of a BHAG. He said, I don't care what your BHAG is, what you're trying to do. When people start shooting at you, you better have a reason to be there. You better have a big, hairy, outrageous why. And so that really ties back into what inspires people. I mean, they've got to have purpose. They've got to have mission and vision. But at the end of the day, the other thing is, you can't leave us to our own devices. We are just really distractible. So, you know, that's where accountability kind of kicks in, is you've got to have a way to measure. If you can't measure it, you can't manage it. So I'm sure when you were doing your workouts, you had a workout plan.
Mm-hmm.
You had a goal. I want to do this race. If I don't do my workout plan and I show up for the race, I could drown. So you had a why.
Which
I want to live.
Which is a pretty good odd anyway. 3,000 people in the water at one time. You got good odds of drowning anyway, but that's a whole other story.
But anyway, at the end of the day, you've got to have all these components. But you can essentially manufacture the components. And even accountability. We find some people are more accountable to certain types of people than others. And so we learned through the research that some people are inspired by a leader, and they want to please the leader. Some people are more inspired and accountable to a coach who's actually got their hand at their back, a mentor. Some, it's the team, and for others, it's just the fans. It's nobody on this team. I'm very self-motivated, but it's really for my tribe or my fans. And in the professional sports world and in the military, as you get more successful, more elite, higher up the ranks, you actually have more fans, more coaches, more teammates. Pro baseball is very different than the little leagues. And yet in business, when somebody starts to really knock the ball out of the park in sales, everybody says, boy, leave that guy alone. We don't want to scare him off. And so they back away. And a lot of leaders are less accountable than the juniors. And therefore, we need to really kind of rethink that a little bit if we want to get peak performance out of our people.
And bringing peak performance to the promotional product side, I don't know if you guys have experienced this, but I see that the leverage of a product sometimes really drives people. I've seen people do outrageous things for a T-shirt. They want a hat. They want a water bottle. They want something that sets them apart, something you can't get if you don't do a particular thing. What have you guys noticed in that regard?
Andy, I still am amazed. You look at a basketball game, the proverbial shooting the T-shirt out of the gun. it drives people, will go crazy. And you have to boil it back. It's a T-shirt at the end of the day. But people are willing
A cotton T-shirt,
non-performance. But they're willing to jump over. So that is just a tried and true case in point right there, what people will do for a promotional product at the end of the day.
Yeah. And once they have it in their hand, I mean, I find this interesting too. If you go to a shop, for example, you know, Peachtree Running Company, I've bought shoes from them before. You know, if I go there and I buy a pair of shoes and they give me a technical T-shirt maybe as a compliment for buying one pair, two pair, five pair, whatever, I want to wear that thing every time I run. I want people to see it and know it. I like having particular branded things, and maybe I'm a little bit of a training diva, I don't know, but, you know, are you noticing that clients are able to leverage those types of things where people don't want to be seen at a trade show without a particular polo shirt on, or maybe they don't go into a conference room meeting without a specific coffee mug?
Yeah, I think so. I think ultimately it's about the experience too, and companies are trying to get their brand out there and for customers and employees to feel good about it. And we point back to the experience. You know, what's the experience that recipient, be it employee, customer, has when you give them the item? And you talked about, Andy, you had a good experience when you go in and buy something and they give it to you as an add-on. You know, that's ultimately they've accomplished what they're looking to do. And it could be something as much as a performance T-shirt or a smaller priced item. But it's the experience ultimately that the client is trying to get the recipient to have and have a positive one. Yeah.
Right. And Mark, you talk about these ideas of leveraging the human spirit and inspiration. Mm-hmm. They're not really new. These things have been around for a while.
Right.
But it's not so much that they've been around for a long time. A lot of principles have been around for a while. But is it obviously more about how people utilize these principles that really has a significant impact?
Yeah, and it's probably like anything else. When it all comes down to it, it's all about people and how we interact with each other on the planet. And so the way to think about, we were talking about some brands and raving fans, if you will, for certain brands. You know, the studies would indicate also that if somebody feels inspired to be an owner, a proud owner of a particular brand, or a proud owner of a particular product, they'll go out of their way to promote that brand to their friends, to their fellow workers, to their now it's social media, they'll post it on their Facebook page. And you look at some brands like a local brand in Atlanta, Coca-Cola. You know, they have and we can say all we want about the drink and what they do, but they have a Facebook page that was started by a consumer with 40 million plus fans within that brand. So Coca-Cola, to their advantage, is taking advantage of that loyalty and trying to maximize that. So to come back full circle to your question, you know, it's pretty basic stuff, but it all really comes down to the execution. You know, it's like, well, it's pretty easy to run 26.2, right? Well, it isn't when it all comes down to it. Oh, you just got to run 26 miles. But the reality of it is, it's not so much running the race, but it's what you do in preparation to actually run a good race. So much like a company, it's more than just the widgets and what we sell. It's like getting to the why, getting to the heart, getting in earlier on to the selection. How do we select people that are like-minded? Mm-hmm. So if we're in a customer service environment, we're hiring people that just by nature love to help people and by nature can speak of examples of where they went above and beyond to help somebody when even though they didn't need to. So a lot of it is, you know, we reflect and we try to attract people that buy into our values, buy into our vision, can give examples of that. That's why you probably never see an overweight person in a running store working in a running store. Because chances are the running store is hiring people that are passionate about fitness and running, and they have a lot of credibility because of that. And so I think there's a lot of simple aspects about how you can do it, but it's all about execution, which, as we all know, can be very, very challenging.
Absolutely.
Andy, one thing that we didn't really talk about is how it goes wrong. Shortcuts. You know, you talked about how can you change the culture and how can you create inspiration. And one of the things you can't do is you really can't do shortcuts. What would happen if the company that doesn't have any inspiration buys the coolest promotional products? Somebody's not going to feel good about that brand associating them with themselves, and it's not going to be successful. And I think that's the interesting tie-in to all these things.
Yeah.
You've got to develop that authentic inspiration, which comes through mission and vision and bleeds into culture. You've got to live it by who you bring on board and attract those people, and that's fundamental, but it's really hard. I mean, that's a daily leadership challenge.
Do you find the challenge with, okay, you've got that achiever, let's say the salesperson that is knocking it out of the park, you know, certain people respond to that differently, whether it's the guy sitting next to him that says, boy, he's getting a lot of recognition, I want that recognition. Where's his source of pain that makes him act? You know, we have incentive programs where we implement, and you know, for the high achiever, he's going to get the gift or the trip. How are you guys finding that you get that guy that's not the achiever, that doesn't have the drive? Where is what's going to make him move and act to get to where the guy next to him is? Andy, took that on the fly.
I like that. That's what we're all about here. There are no scripts. They're cue cards. I've been holding them up for you, but
I couldn't see it.
But you're freelancing, so.
Well, I think one of the, from my perspective, you know, you say what's going to change this person's behavior? It depends on what motivates that person. So if it is an achiever, then they're probably motivated by seeing somebody out achieving them. And therefore, if you put them together on an accountability team where they can actually measure the behaviors that lead to results, their scores are going to go up and they're going to compete. But what we find, though, is just not everybody's that way. So if you have somebody and you're trying to push them to achieve in a way that they're not hardwired to do, you're not going to sustain it. They'll come up with every reason in the book that their market's not as good, their product's not as good, they're trying, that it's just not going to work. So I do think, to some extent, that's an individual thing, and it deserves a conversation with that person. Mm. Why are you here? Do you want to be the top salesperson? Or do you want to be the top service person? You just love investing in those relationships, but you're really not out there feeding the pipeline. Maybe you're miscast,
mm-hmm.
and we should get you on the customer service team. Although I'd say everybody's on the customer service team.
True.
Absolutely. But, you know, I do think there's psychology behind it, because if you just keep putting incentives and cracking the whip, and it there may be a lot of reasons that start to bubble up as to why the person isn't going to do whatever you want them to do, but it's probably because you haven't tapped into what inspires them.
Do you guys have that conversation, Travis, when you go into a company and work with them?
We have that conversation initially with our clients, and it also is kind of a self-selection thing. What we found is that we work best with best places to work, because if you don't have a best place to work, then this can come off as superficial or insincere. If you have the conversation, say, okay, everybody, I really want you to start growing. I want you to achieve your potential in work and in life. And then at the end of the meeting, you go back and say, all I really care about, because all we talk about from then on is the sales number. It doesn't work. But when we go into a place that has a culture of trust, has a culture of excellence, they've already been investing in their people, they just haven't had a really effective way to measure it, then we're fulfilling a need they have and that they're already trying to fill it.
Well, I would think that modeling would come into that greatly from the standpoint of vision and the modeling at the top, because it's like you were talking about, Mark, you were talking about from a standpoint of somebody kind of just going through the motions and then going back to the desk and doing whatever they were doing before. So I would think that modeling day in and day out is a huge way to slowly over time change how a person thinks from a cultural standpoint of the business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, changing that thought process is huge. I mean, in fact, you know, even human behavior, just take that by itself, not even workplace, but, you know, I was taught human behavior is whatever result you want to get, it comes from a series of actions or a series of behaviors, those things you do, Travis, day to day, right? Which is kind of where I Run, You Run comes in, the success habits. But in order to adopt those success habits, there's something underneath behavior. People behave a certain way because of the way they think. They have a mindset or an attitude around certain things. So certain people that struggle to eat well, it's you know, you can give them a diet and they may gut it out for 6 weeks, but then they're going to go right back to their old eating habits. And I think statistically, most people put on 10% more weight than they lost after going off of a diet. So you've got to change that way people think. And then, of course, at the heart of that, you got to go one step lower, which is the conditioning and the belief system that underpins it. And inside of an organization, and Mark, I'm sure you run into this when you're trying to create inspiration, is there is a conditioning process that's put on these in the workplace day in, day out, on the employees, on the leadership, that has to be shifted, has to be changed. Are you able to identify those types of things, and how do you move somebody off of that conditioning?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what Travis and others have said up to this point is spot on, which is, and the subtlety of it is that perhaps not everybody that's on the team that might not be performing at the level that everyone aspires to as an organization might be right for the position. And when you get to the why, it might be that they're not feeling connected. Or ideally, if there's a culture where people are affirming, where they see things in others that they do not, and they help bring that out, many times that recognition is enough to connect with somebody to elevate potentially their performance. Because, you know, it's about confidence, it's about motivation, and sometimes it takes somebody else to look at them and say, you know, I really observed this in you, and I think you're underutilizing your talent, which happens, what I think happens to be this. And that person all of a sudden changes their, potentially could change their attitude toward things. Now, getting back to your question about how do you change that within the organization, it depends upon which driver is lacking. Or there's a gap. So if it's around visioning, then you can deal with, you know, you can have conversations with the teams about what's our vision, what's our why. If it's about progress, do we have things in place where we're actually managing and tracking our progress? And are we focused on the right goals? Do we have the right tools in place to help that? Story, do we have stories in place to help us, you know, continue to keep the vision alive? Do we share it with our employees, share it with our customers or our customer experiences? Do we bring it back? Home Depot's doing a really good job at this right now with their associates, quite frankly, because they're living it every day by dealing with their customers. And then the other is affirming. The fourth area is do we have an affirming culture where as managers or as peers, we look at each other and we look at the best of everybody. We see the positive in them that they may not. And do we affirm that in each other? And then at core, it's all about, are we authentic with each other? Do we just wear the mask? Can we share our true emotions with our peers or with others in the organization? And then also, are we credible? What's our cred factor? It's one thing to say, I expect you to do this, but if they don't believe that you can do it yourself, then why? I mean, that's a big issue. So credibility is also a key aspect of inspiration. And the last is servant leadership. As leaders or as peers, are we? If we cannot be above anything to be a true servant leader, whether it's to our customers, whether it's to our peer group, whether it's to our team. And to the original question, there might be one of those seven areas that as an organization that they might be lacking. And so if the company can then begin to focus in, and what we would help organizations do, say, well, you seem to have a challenge around this driver, and this is what we can do to help you out. We can, and then we help the team get their arms around what it would take to to impact that in a positive way.
Makes sense. So if I'm a business and I'm trying to build a team, get people doing the successful habits they need to do, create inspiration, and of course I want to further my relationship with my clients, it seems like I got a lot of things to work with here, right? So let's talk about engagement. How do I engage your companies? How do I find out more about what you do and if you're a good fit for my organization? Travis, let me start with you. How can people find you?
Well, they find us on the web. So irunyourun.com is where people can come to learn about who we are and what we do. And we've got a 2-minute video that tries to get at the heart of what it means to help people achieve greatness. And so I would encourage somebody who might be interested to watch that video. And then they click a button that says Get Started. And they can choose to use a free version of our app if they actually want to experience it and try it themselves. They can click the Contact Us if they want to understand how does the enterprise version of our tool set work. And then when we do actually engage a client, we found the hard way that offering somebody a free trial doesn't lead to a high level of engagement. It's the one percenters that are already wired to write everything down and track, and they probably already have a tool like ours that just isn't web-enabled or something. They track their whole life in a spreadsheet. They pick it up right away. But for everybody else, they go back and they get busy again. So what we do is we do a challenge. We challenge the client, and we say, use our tool for a month with intention. You pick the Monday, any Monday you want. You'll start. You can have as many people in the challenge as you want. But use it with intention and experience its impact on you and your life and your team. And a month later, we'll get back together and we'll talk about, now that you've seen it, how could it work? Because it's something they haven't used before, so they almost have to experience it. But during that month, we provide support, training, and some coaching as well.
Fantastic. You ever start them on a Thursday just to mix things up?
I did start one yesterday, so I've done Wednesday. I haven't done Thursday.
Okay. I always find it funny. Everybody's like, yeah, I'm going to start a new program Monday. I'm like, what's so special about Monday? I don't know. So, Mark, how do people find you if I want to create some inspiration in the workplace?
Well, through the web, it will be giinspiration.com. And on that website, there is something called the Inspiration Meter. People can go in individually and just actually it will ask them about 30 questions. And from that, we indicated what those 7 key drivers are. It would indicate that, you know, your perception of your organization or the team you're in indicates that you have opportunities here, here, and here to focus on driving inspiration or improving it. So giinspiration.com.
Great. Marv, Dane, how do we find you guys if we want to look at creating some relationship with our clientele?
Best way to get in touch with us is the traditional, let's use the phone. We like a relationship. We're a relationship business. We're available on the web too, www.puremarketinggroup.net. Contact information there. But, you know, traditionally in business, and it's no knock on the technology side of business, but I feel like we're kind of pulling away from the real of dealing with people and having one-on-one conversations and creating kind of real relationships at the end of the day. We're talking about all the social stuff that goes on from the, you know, the Facebook to the Twitter to this, and it's just, and that's all you hear about, it seems like, anymore in the news and everything that's happening. And there's a place for it. But, Pure Marketing Group, from a standpoint of just building relationships, traditional way.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned traditional because I see so many people that do move away from that at times. I've got a couple friends that they're married and they would literally Facebook each other. They're in the same room and they will be communicating over Facebook, and maybe it's so that the audience can view in. I don't know. Anyway, well, guys, this was a great discussion today. I think we really learned a lot about some ways that we can leverage the human spirit. And I'd love to have you guys back on at some point, either to bring back on an individual client that maybe you have worked with, and let's talk about their experience, or maybe between now and that time, we might find a guinea pig client and do kind of a case study and bring all these elements to work in one business place. I'd be really interested to see what type of result we could drive in an organization with something
That'd
like that.
Fun.
Would you guys be up for something of that
Absolutely.
Nature?
Sure.
That'd be great. Fantastic. Well, let's do that. Well, again, thank you. you for being here today. This has been Renegade Radio. My name is Andy Lowe with Renegade Concepts, and we're brought to you by the good folks here at Business Radio X. Tune in to hear us each week as we visit with entrepreneurs and business leaders and find out what they're doing differently. Remember, opportunity lies in the impossible, but you have to be willing to break the rules of conventional thinking. Until next time.